Well, how's everybody doing today? Doing all well? How was your week? Well, I drove school bus for the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes it's great, but some days, don't ask. You know, I can tell you there was great days, and some days, I don't know, I wish there was an ejection seat button there. You can eject the kids out through the roof, boom, and that would be it, you know. So quite an interesting, I think somebody's laughing because they know what I'm talking about exactly, right? Yes, and then they say to you, why'd you stop so fast for? And of course, you don't want to tell them that you can do a face plant in the seat in front. So we're bus drivers, so we know this stuff already. So anyways, but actually, it was a good week. It was a really good week. So as I was preparing for today's message, put something on your heart and you get it together, and then you work on it and you work on it and you tear it apart, and you're still tearing it apart Sunday morning because God still wants, there's things in it that you are working with. And I was thinking about the chaotic and hysterical times in which we are now living. Some of the events that have recently surfaced are very disturbing. What's coming down, man, aren't you glad you know Jesus? Aren't you glad that he is in control and that we have a hope? Yes. And to me, some of these things are revealing that the return of Jesus is very soon. We don't know how much longer it's going to be, but the way things are going, it just points that direction. And therefore, there must be an urgency within the hearts of disciples of Jesus. That's you and me, to reach the lost, those who do not know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. There should be an urgency for us to go out to the harvest and gather in as many as we can during these times that we live in. However, to be honest, there are so few disciples of Jesus who are actively involved in their daily lives in reaching the lost. So what's the problem? Well, could the answer be to that problem be a lack of compassion? What I mean is this, I'm referring to the level of compassion that maybe many of us have never reached. And there is an old hymn I remember growing up with. There's quite a few of them, actually. If I read the words of this, some of you will know this hymn. I'm going to read some of the sentences in here. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to what? Save. Send the light. Send the light. Well, another verse says, let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light. Send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. And the last verse says, let us not grow weary in the work of love. And what are we to do? Send the light, send the light. Now, I have four questions to ask. And I want us, I think they're up here. Do I have them up here? Yes, okay. I warned Josh that there may be some mix-ups or something goes a little haywire this morning, but that's okay. God's in control. When we look at these questions, I want us to actually say them out loud as I read them, okay? These are for all of us. Here we go. When was the last time, can't hear you, when I shared Jesus with someone in my family who needs his love? How many of you have unsaved family members? Both hands up, because I got lots of them. Let's do the next one. How many times have I thought, I know I need to share Jesus with a coworker or somebody that you work with? How many of you have coworkers that don't know Jesus? Yes. Next question. How long has it been since I prayed for someone, let's say in missions, someone who's going out? When was the last time? Think about it. Do you know what missionaries we support in this church? Somebody's already shaking their head. I really don't know either. I looked at the board and I looked around, seen little pieces of it. Here's the fourth question. Am I taking the gospel to my unsaved neighbors? How many have unsaved neighbors? I have one next door, right next door, 10 feet away, let's say. And they're pretty loud. All right? But they need Jesus as well. We need to go to those neighbors. If we were to answer those questions, and we're not going to answer those questions, we need to have what? A compassion for the lost. Sometimes years go by, and little was done on our part to share the gospel. Rather than being troubled by this fact, we just slide into a state of compliancy. We just basically sit back and wait until someone else does it. Compassion is the gasoline that drives the engine of reaching the lost. And with the proper compassion, we can and we will find those who need Jesus Christ. And if we don't know how, we will not rest until we do something that will bring us to that place where we do lead people to Jesus. You must realize that we have the only message that will give those lost in sin eternal life and hope for tomorrow and for the future. We have the only message. So we're going to look at Jesus and what motivated Jesus to save the lost. What promoted him to give up all the riches of heaven and come to this world filled with sin? What driving force propelled Jesus to go from city to city, town to town, and village to village with the gospel of his kingdom? What motivated him to endure the shame, the beatings, the humiliation, and the pain of dying on the cross? Well, there are some reasons. We're going to look at those now. First, Jesus has a strong sense of purpose to do his Father's will. In John 6:38, it says, "For I have come," what? "Down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, and not to do what I want." Notice the word "down." We all know what that means, correct? It means coming from here and going down to here, right? It means going from a higher level to a lower level. In order for Jesus to experience compassion for the lost, for lost humanity, he had to leave heaven and descend to earth to become one of us. He had to do that in order to experience what we experience in our lives and to begin to have compassion for those that he made. And it's the same for us. We have to leave, shall we? I'm going to probably step over the line, probably step on someone's toes. Our high and noble positions. Maybe we have to leave our, shall we used to say it as I was growing up, our ivory palaces and lower ourselves to the common, everyday place of where the lost live. Maybe we need to start thinking like that once again. The second one is the Father's love, which Jesus shared with others. In John 15:9, it says, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love." And over in John 17, "Are revealed to you, revealed you to them, and will keep on revealing you. I will do this so that your love for me may be in them, and I in them." And of course, there was the future judgment to those Jesus sought to save, for which he warned in Matthew 10:28, "Do not be afraid of those who want to kill you. They can only kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. For only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And of course, we know the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross for you and I. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, "He, Jesus, was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterward." And each one of these can and will be and help us, motivate us as well, to have a compassion for the lost. However, there was one factor which is mentioned in Matthew 9, the scripture that was read, verse 16, verse 36. And notice it, he felt great, what? Compassion for the crowds that came. The word used for compassion here is not the one, I feel for you, or go visit a sick friend, kindheartedness or sympathy. And those things are correct for compassion. The type that Jesus had here was a deep emotional one. It literally means to take a blender to your emotions. That's the wording. In fact, the word felt or moved comes from a Greek word that means to be moved in one's bowels. Interesting phrase, hey? That means his stomach was turned in a knot and turned all around. It makes you sick. Interesting, compassion for the lost. And could the lack of compassion be the reason or the answer many of us do not actively seek to rescue the lost or send more workers out into his field? To help us answer that question today, I want to look closer at Jesus' compassion for the lost. I want us to look at it. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus' compassion is mentioned on numerous occasions. If you sat down and read throughout all the Gospels, you will find his compassion is front and center. And even in our context, Matthew 9:36, he felt great compassion, felt compassion for the crowds that came. We know that Jesus had compassion prior to feeding the 5,000. And I want you to notice, he always did something when he felt compassion. He did something or said something. Keep that in mind as we are reading these passages. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat. So he was preaching somewhere else, got in a boat, decided to go to the other side of the lake to get away from and get some rest. But the crowds followed him. And it says, as he stepped from the boat, he had compassion on them, and he did what? He healed their sick. He did something. We find that Jesus had compassion prior to feeding the 4,000. In Matthew 15, it says, and Jesus called the disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for these people. And Jesus also felt and had compassion towards individuals. And we look at a man who had leprosy in Mark 1, verse 40. It says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you want to, you can make me well again, he said. And it says, moved with compassion, Jesus did what? He touched him. He did something. That compassion made him do something. And then Jesus says, I want to be healed. And I want you to know, the moment Jesus touched that man, he identified with his disease. That's what the law said. Jesus had compassion for the widow of Nain, who had lost her son. In Mark 7, it tells us that Jesus went with his disciples to this village, and there's a great crowd that's following him, and so he's trying to enter into the village, and as he's coming into the village, there's another procession coming out, a funeral procession. The boy who had died was the only son of a widow. In those days, that was the end for her. She'd be destitute for the rest of her life. And many mourners from the village were with her. And when Jesus saw her, what does it say? His heart, what? Overflowed with compassion. That means it burst forth. It came out. He demonstrated, showed his compassion. And he says these words, quite interesting, I find. This is a funeral procession. He says, don't cry. Don't cry. And then what did he do? He walked over to the coffin, and he did what? Touched it. And the pallbearer stopped. Young man, Jesus says, get up. And the dead boy sat up and began to talk to those around him. And then Jesus gave him back to his mother. His compassion compelled him to do something and to meet someone's needs. Jesus had compassion for two blind men. We find this in Matthew 20. Tells us that two blind men were sitting beside the road near the city of Jericho. When they heard Jesus was coming their way, they began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the crowd told them to be quiet, but they only shouted louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus did what? He stopped in the road and called out. And take note of Jesus' question. What do you want me to do for you? And Lord, they said, we want to see. And Jesus felt great compassion for them, and he did what? Touched their eyes. And instantly they could see. And then what did these two men do? Instead of sitting on the side of the road, they followed Jesus on the road. Yes, Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw people. People who were weary, scattered. People who were sick. Great compassion for people. And that should be part of our lives as well as Christians. Jesus' compassion moved him to heal them, feed them. It moved him to teach them. And also in the need of a shepherd. We find that in Mark 6. It says, a vast crowd was there. He stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things. His compassion moved him to call upon his disciples to pray for more laborers in his field. That's what our passage told us and tells us. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his fields. The fields are ripe. And of course, his compassion moved him to send out his disciples as well. In Matthew 10, it says, Jesus sent out the 12, go and announce to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep, that the kingdom of heaven is near. You and I need to go out and proclaim that the kingdom is coming. We know it's here, in a spiritual sense, but someday, soon, it'll be a physical sense. Jesus was moved by compassion. Compassion was his driving force that led him to live a hectic, grueling lifestyle. He did whatever he could to meet their needs, especially their need for salvation and love and mercy. Now let's consider our compassion for the lost. My question to you, do you have compassion for the lost? Do you? Some of us, yes. Some of us smiling. Some of us don't really know how to answer that one. We never really thought about it, have we? Are we moved when we see individuals who are lost in sin? Now, I'm going to talk about something here in Fairview. How many of us noticed a young man who wanders the streets of Fairview? How many have noticed that young man? At times he's gesturing with his hands, right? Sometimes he's speaking with his hands, wandering all over the streets, down the sidewalks. He's poorly dressed at times. Very skinny young fellow. Sometimes he's clutching items. Have you seen him holding items in his hands? I've seen it. Some of them have been stolen. I know that for a fact. Had to deal with it already. He has family in Fairview. Some have rejected him. Some will have little to do with him. It's been said that drugs have messed his mind up. And yet, you know what? He's not the only one. There are others who do wander the streets as well. I know one other young man that does as well. Just recently, I heard a noise beside the house. I couldn't figure out what was going on beside the house. I thought it was a deer sleeping there. I got up and actually it was a young man who came beside the house and took off across the street up towards the hospital. It went in the flash pretty quick. Noticed a few moments later he was getting undressed at the hospital on the grass, changing his clothes for the day. Does that break your heart when you see that? Would that break your heart? There's also some young ladies too. I think I was driving the school bus. You know where A&W is? And right next to it, there is that crest, I think it is. And then the cooperatives in that building. And there's some rocks between there. I noticed some young fellows making fun of some young lady there, passed out from drugs, laying on that rocks. Would you have compassion to go? And help. Compassion for the lost. Can we truly say we have compassion for the lost if we made no effort to reach them and meet their needs? What have you done in the past little while for those who are lost in sin and where sin is controlling their lives? Can you answer that question? Are you pleased with it? But how can we develop compassion for those who need Jesus? Well, I'm going to look at a few things that we can do. First thing, compassion for the lost can be developed by letting God teach us how to love. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, about Christian love that should be shown among God's people, for God himself has taught you how to love one another. So here we're talking about within the church. There are those within the church that don't know Jesus Christ either. Do you know that? Studies show an average church of a large church, at least 50% of them don't know Jesus. They just pretend. Then in 1 John 3:16 through 17, if anyone has enough money to live well and sees someone in need and refuses to help, what does it say? How can God's love be in that person? If we love, we cannot close our hearts and our minds to the needs God has revealed to us or shown to us. And we have the ability to meet that needs. Sometimes God gives us those blessings that he gives to us, not to hang on, but to release and let go so others can be blessed. God teaches us to love through the example of Jesus. How much did Jesus love you and me? He did what? He died for us. But the best way to develop compassion for the lost is to get deep into God's word and deep into God's love. We need to do what John did on that night that Jesus was betrayed. When he laid against Jesus' breast, what was he listening to? The heartbeat of Jesus. But compassion has to be developed when we spend time with people. To love people and compassion for them, you need to get to know them. I'm going to tell you right now, people's lives are what? Messy. Do you have unsaved friends? Do you? Co-workers, family members? We all do. The more we come in contact with people and get to know them, the more likely we'll be concerned about their well-being and their future and their salvation. And also, too, we need to be aware of becoming isolated from people. And of course, I know this COVID-19 has stuck us in our houses more than once, but we need to be aware of not becoming so isolated we never go out. Of course, our technological advances sometimes even hinder us to go out and be with people. Remember this important fact. Jesus was often moved by compassion when he was among the multitudes and the individuals. And how should compassion move us? Well, it should move us to do whatever we can to meet those needs. Maybe teach others as well. 2 Timothy 2 says the Lord's servant must be able to teach effectively and teach those great truths to trustworthy people who are to be able to pass them on to others. The gospel truth must be taught so that its truths can be passed on to others to teach people how to live, how to find Jesus. In Hebrews 5:12, it says, you've been Christians a long time now and you ought to be teaching others. When I think of teaching, I'm not thinking about the classroom type setting. I'm talking about where I would take an apprentice and teach him to be a carpenter. Or an electrician, teach him to be an electrician, a young person. How do you do that? You work on them one-on-one, day in and day out, until they learn. That's what I'm talking about. You may know how to reach the lost for Jesus. You may, but maybe somebody over here needs to know how to do that. We need to be able to teach each other to go out the door of this church to the harvest. Unable to teach, well, maybe some of us make arrangements to bring others to Jesus. Maybe go out and get them, just go get them and bring them in. We find that when in John 1, where Philip did that for Nathanael. We read these words. Philip went off to look for Nathanael. He went and looked, and then he told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophet wrote about. His name is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," explained Nathanael. "How can anything good come from there?" "Just come and see for yourself," Philip said. We may just have to just bring them. Just bring them in. Just go get them. How about Cornelius? What did he do with his family and friends? What did he do? In Acts 10, it says Cornelius was waiting for Peter, and he had called together his relatives and close friends. And what were they waiting for? To hear God's message. Maybe we need to open up our lives a little more. And we're to seek to involve others, too, in saving the lost by praying to the Lord of the harvest in charge to send out more workers. In 2 Thessalonians 3, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I ask you to pray for us. Pray first that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you." This is something every one of us here can do today, and that is we can pray that God sends more out, people out into the harvest. That God's word may run free from interference, obstacles, or hindrances. We are to pray so that God's word will be glorified and accomplishes the very purpose it was sent out to do. And we're to involve others as well. We find that in Luke 10. It says the harvest is so great, but the workers are so what? Few. And so we're to pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his field. Yes, Jesus teaches us that we're to pray. Teaches us to train. Teaches us to send out others. Well, how can we do it? Well, we can encourage the training of those willing to go. We have two young ladies that have left to train to go into the harvest. Are we praying for them? Are we financially supporting them? Sort of silence there for a second. We have another young couple that is going into the world as well. Are we behind them 100%? They're going out. They're going out. Because God has laid upon their heart the compassion for the lost. This next verse is in Philippians 4. I'm going to pass over. And I want to look at 3 John 5:8, 5 through 8. It says, "Dear friends, you're doing good work for God when you take care of traveling teachers who are passing through. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church of your friendship and of your loving deeds. You do well to send them on their way in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, accepting nothing from those who are not Christians. So we ourselves should support them, so that we may become partners with them for the truth." When we partner with those that we send out, we are partnering with them in reaching the lost, here at home and here abroad. We may not be there, but we're there when we pray and support them. And we're walking with them. They need our protection and our prayers, especially in these days that we live. So in closing, without compassion for the lost, there is no gasoline to reach the lost. We may have the knowledge and opportunities, however, like a car in the garage, no gasoline, we just sit there making car noises. That's what I used to do as a young boy. used to go to the back 40, sit in the old cars, and pretend it was actually working. Do you know what I'm talking about? Get in the front seat there, get the old stick shift, vroom, 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 and racing down the road. And when the cows ran by and thought they were looking at us kind of crazy, but that's what they did. Is that what we have been doing regarding compassion? We're just pretending? Just making noise? Could it be a lack? Could we be we're lacking the gasoline necessary for compassion? The love that Jesus has given to us? To go? With compassion for the lost, we will not rest until we're doing something. It may not be the same as what someone else is doing, but it'll be something. Remember, each one of us is different. Each one of us is gifted different. God has given us gifts. And God will use those gifts so that we can be able to reach others. Even if we don't know how or know what to do, compassion will motivate us to keep searching, looking and studying until we find something to do or ways to get into. I'll tell you from personal experience. I was pastoring in Bonanza there, and I got called to put windows in a house. These guys were anti-Christian, anti-God, everything. And I went there to put windows in. And he told me at lunch one day, he says, the only reason you're here, Joe, is because you're wearing that pouch. Think about that. I had a good time presenting the gospel to that couple. Sometimes the very tools that you wear will get you into places others cannot go. For as gasoline drives the engine, we will not be satisfied until we begin moving and release the power God has given to all of us. The challenge for us, I think, are the words found in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It says, and I cannot stop. If I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak his name, his words burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. God has something for us. Is it burning? You're going to release it? Maybe today. Let's pray. Father, compassion for the lost. What a massive harvest field we are in, but yet so few are there. Father, burn into our hearts that the moment we leave this building, we enter that field. Let us pray that you will open our eyes and our hearts to those that need you as we go about our daily lives. Bring the opportunities to us, especially in these days where people need to hear Jesus' message of hope and love and grace. Amen.